This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Luke 22:13. I want us to read in unison Luke 22:13-20, and we'll come to our word testament or covenant when we get down to verse 20. The first three words are, and they went. Would you read with me, please? And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now we know that there were several cups. There were several cups during the course of the Jewish Passover. And Jesus took at least two cups in the account before us. Well, our subject is covenant relationships. Covenant relationships. And before I go any further, I want to get these references out. I don't know if we'll get this far, but I want you to be prepared to read these passages. I hope we get that far, because I want to catch up, but let's not count on it. You're all smiling, and you should be. All right, covenant relationship. The derivation of the word covenant, as we have seen, we compared it to the word fix. The word fix in the English dictionary has at least 8 different meanings. Meanings that are broadly different. To fix can be to repair something or to get a fix with drugs. English words are unusual. And the origin of this word covenant is tricky, but it obviously means testament, contract, or agreement, binding, most of the time, a binding contract. And thekeia, in the Greek, in the New Testament, means a repository, a barn, a granary, or a sheaf. And diatheke then would be to put a promise, to put a contract, to put an agreement in a repository to keep it safe, like putting a sword in a sheath. So, covenant, based on a promise, placed in a repository like a barn, a granary, or a sheath to keep it secure and untouchable, to keep it protected. Now let's come in at lesson 3. Did everyone get a copy of the lesson back at the back? No. Thank you, brother. All right, lesson 3. our theme verse. Let's read it together, Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. Together, please. He, Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant. Are you there? Lesson 3. Let's read it, the theme verse, please. Again. He, Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant. Now, I do recommend this book. This is a fabulous book. The Blood Covenant by H. Clay Trumbull. The Blood Covenant. In the last lesson, I read an account from Clay Trumbull, who saw this happen at the base of some mountains in Lebanon. And this incident is an illustration of the most extreme kind of cutting a covenant. It repels us. It repels us. And we think of cannibalism. So I say this is the most extreme form of making a covenant, but it's been done, especially among the Arab peoples, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan Valley. And I read from Trumbull how these two young Arab men actually put a slit in their veins and took a quill and sucked each other's blood. And remember in John 6, Jesus said, "Except ye drink my blood." Now, Christians in the early days were accused of cannibalism. It's not cannibalism, but it's an expression for a very binding, extreme, strong agreement. Now, as a follow-up to what we heard last week about these two Arab young men, cutting their veins and sucking each other's blood through the quill, we come to the first paragraph in our lesson. As a follow-up to the true story recounted in Lesson 2, Clay Trumbull adds, in view of the Oriental, there it is, in view of the Oriental method of evidencing the closest possible affection by the sucking of the loved one's blood, there would seem to be more than a coincidence in the fact that the Arabic words for friendship, for affection, for blood, and for leech, or blood sucker, are all variations of the same root. All right? One Arabic root word gives rise to all those different terms. Now, that's quite a span, isn't it? And the Arabic word is alak. We would spell it A-L-A-Q. A-L-A-Q. Alak. It covers all the terms I've mentioned in the English. Friendship, affection, blood, leech, blood sucker. They all come from the root alak. Alak, A-L-A-Q, means love. Friendship, attachment, and blood. Now, there are reasons why these different words come from the same root. That is because in history and culture, in the Near East, they're connected. Love and blood. Affection and blood. Affection and leech. I even detest to mention the word leech. That's a nasty word, isn't it? But here it is. Here is the derivation of the word. The truest friend clings like a leech. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I said last week, and I'm hoping that you're not offended by these sensitive topics. But in the Near East, blood brothers are closer than milk brothers. Blood brothers, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about those who've entered into the covenant. I'm not talking about those who had common parents. I'm talking about blood brothers according to the covenant. They're closer than milk brothers. They're closer than breast brothers. And so, the truest friend clings like a leech and draws blood, thereby sharing his friend's life and nature. If I were to cut a covenant with David Dong, we would be closer than my brother up in Canada. We would be closer. My brother up in Canada and I are milk brothers. But David and I would become blood brothers. And we would cling like leeches. And we would partake of each other's nature and life. That's why Jesus said, you've got to participate in my blood and my body. And if you don't participate in my blood and my body, you have no part in me. The covenant relationship in Holy Scripture is most, most serious. Write again the reference after that paragraph by Trumbull. Write the reference, John 6, 53 through 57. And read it again when you go home. After phrase sharing his friend's life and nature, put the reference John 6, 53 through 57. All right, now we need to finish up from last week. All right, yes. I want to get this back to. Brother Ogle, or could you take this back to our guests today? They're there at the back. Good, yes. Wonderful. All right, let's go back now, please, to finish up last week. We're coming into page 2. Page 2 of Lesson 2. Last week we studied our vertical covenant with God. Now let's today get to our horizontal covenants. It is also God's desire that every person, are you finding your place on the page 2 of lesson 2? Have you got it? It is also God's desire. Had you found it? If you found it, would you wave at me or something? The guests, have you found where I'm at? Okay, good. Have you got it, Aletha? Page? All right. Page 2, Lesson 2. We've looked at vertical covenants. Now our horizontal covenants. It is also God's desire that every person be in an active, pleasing, we're all in relationships, aren't we? Whether we want to be or not, we're in relationships. But the point is, it's God's desire that we be in an active, pleasing, horizontal relationship with spouse, family, fellow church members, and as far as is spiritually possible. Now, what's qualified? I can't be in as close a relationship with a neighbor, who has loud beer parties every night. All right? There are qualifications. When the circle widens and we get outside the circle of believers, we should be concerned about horizontal relationships, but it won't be the same. Right? We won't be as close to unbelievers as we are to a believing spouse or believing children. And so we're to be in horizontal covenant relationships as far as is spiritually possible and in accordance with the mandates of the believer's call to holiness with our neighbors and fellow men. So, horizontal covenant relationships, spouse, family, fellow church members, and then, as is scripturally possible, I'm not going to go drinking with my neighbors, right? That is going to limit the relationship. So, it's qualified when we extend beyond our spouse, our family, and fellow church members. It's qualified, but we should still try to be as best as is possible in proper relationships with our neighbors and those on the street and those we work with. All right, now to look at horizontal covenant relationships, let's go back to Exodus 20 and pick up where we left off last week. You'll recognize this as the Ten Commandments passage. There's a lot more than the Ten Commandments in the Bible about covenant relationships, but the Ten Commandments are a good place to start. And a week ago, we looked at the first four of the Ten Commandments, and we studied our vertical covenant relationship with God. Let's read in unison now the last six of the Ten Commandments, looking for horizontal covenant relationships and the responsibilities of horizontal covenant relationships. These are basic. We read Exodus 20, verses 12 through 17. The first word is honor. Would you please read out loud with me? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. This is a good place to start to see what is expected of us in horizontal covenant relationships. The last six, back in the outline, the last six of the Ten Commandments address our relationship with other human beings. The first four, the vertical relationship. The last six, horizontal covenant relationships. We can only begin to be in right relationship others when, an ideal there, with the last six. And so, each time, just in your mind, repeat that phrase. We can only begin to be in right relationship others when. It's there as five. We treat our parents with respect. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother. We can only begin to be in a proper horizontal covenant relationship with our parents when we respect them. And I will understand that some children are abused. Some children are abused in horrific ways that I knew nothing of as a child. And I hate child abuse of every form. But we are to demonstrate respect to their position. They may grieve us, they may hurt us, they may sin, but we're to treat the position with respect. We don't endorse things that some parents do or have done, but we're to treat the position with respect. Children should talk respectfully to their parents. Nothing is gained when a child lips off at his parents. All right, let's go on. When we think about the sixth commandment, we can only begin to be in right relationship with others when we do not dare to murder. I use the term murder. In Genesis, now this is my conviction. We can disagree and it's all right. But it is my conviction that in Genesis, when Noah came out of the ark, it's my conviction that God established a capital punishment. That's where I'm at. Anybody else there? I believe that's called the dispensation of human government. And God said to Noah, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood," what? Talk to me. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Now that is killing, but that is not murder. And so I'm expressing it that we cannot be in covenant relationship horizontally when we dare to murder another human being who is made in the image of God. And that is not the same as capital punishment. And you'll find that Genesis 1, 26, 27. God made man in his own image. And it is given to government only. The prerogative, the jurisdiction for a capital punishment is given to government only. I cannot go and murder my neighbor because he has loud beer parties. Right? That is not my prerogative. So I cannot kill in the sense of murdering. Alright, commandment number 7. We can only begin to be in right relationship with others when we do not violate the sanctity of another person's moral purity. I'm including fornication. We can only begin to be in right relationship with others when we do not violate the sanctity of another person's moral purity. Exodus 20:14. I'm just going to be candid with you. We had several people attending here, and by God's grace, they really liked me. I don't know why. They really liked me. I don't know why, but they did. And Jane and I loved them. We had them in our home. We had a good meal. And the time came when the man came to me and he said, "I want to join the church. I want to join the church." And I said, "We would love to have you as a member of the fellowship. We'd love to have you as a member. But are you being intimate with her?" He said, "But it's not wrong. It's okay if it's before marriage." That's where we are in our culture. We sat right there. And he said, but it's okay if it's before marriage. It's only adultery. It's only adultery if you're a married person. And I said, "I know some people say fornication only applies to teenagers before they're married, and adultery is a term for people who are already married, but I don't find in the book of Revelation that distinction. Fornicators who do not make it right with God end up in hell. I didn't say that. I'm repeating it, but that's what the Bible teaches. So I chose to express it this way because there's more than just adultery between married people in the seventh commandment. It includes fornication. And we're not going to be in proper horizontal covenant relationship when we violate the sanctity of another person's moral purity, either after marriage or before marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying? This commandment applies before marriage as well as it applies to after marriage. We cannot be in proper covenant relationship if we're violating another person's moral purity. Period. Let's go on. Number 8. We cannot be in proper horizontal covenant relationship with others if we violate the rights of private ownership. What kind of a car do you drive, Maxim? What kind of car? A Lexus. All right. I want to be friends. I want to be a covenant brother with Maxim. And what's a little Lexus between friends? You won't mind if I just borrow your Lexus for a decade or two, will you? He's being nice to me. It's amazing he doesn't bop me over the head. We couldn't be in proper covenant relationship horizontally if I violated his right of private ownership of that Lexus. Agreed? And if you take me out for a hamburger, and I reach over and grab your hamburger and eat your hamburger before I eat my hamburger, I don't think our horizontal covenant relationship is going to be very good. You're going to say, I'm not in covenant relationship with you. You just stole my hamburger. We cannot steal, which means we cannot violate the right of private ownership. I'll tell you, there's one thing I don't want to steal from my neighbor. He has a boxer. And that boxer and I are not in covenant relationship. That boxer has the most lousy personality of any dog I've ever met. And I have to walk past him. I'm glad for the fence. Chain link. And one of these times I'm going to get about 2 feet. He's got a long tongue. I'll get about 2 feet from the chain link fence and go, I would like to steal our neighbor's boxer and take him out in the woods of central Indiana. But I'd have no opportunity to win my neighbor to Christ, would I? So I'd not be in good covenant relationship with my neighbor if I stole his boxer. All right, number 9. We can only begin to be in right horizontal relationship with others when we do not harm another's reputation with false accusations. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I can't be in a good relationship. I can't be in a good covenant relationship with Brother Dong if I say, you know, I peeked into the room up at Moody when Brother David was taking his final exam. And I think he cheated. Now, if I bear false witness against David, don't you think that will affect our relationship? I bear false witness. I cannot have a proper horizontal covenant relationship with David if I bear false witness, make a false accusation against him. And then the last of the Ten Commandments, and the last one to talk about having proper horizontal relationships, I can only begin to be in right horizontal relationship with others when I do not lust. It's called cutting. I just want to keep you logged in, so I just am using another term. Covet, or when I lust. I cannot be in proper relationship if I lust after something or someone God has not chosen to give me. That's pretty simple, but it's a toughie, isn't it? Maybe I want his Lexus. So the stealing, the violation of private ownership, and the lusting after his Lexus, right? They're interconnected. All right. These are some commandments about how we must live if we want to have proper horizontal relationships. All right. Let's go on. Our horizontal covenant responsibilities extend to fellow believers. Our horizontal covenant responsibilities, as we've said in the introductory paragraph, extend to fellow believers. Who has Colossians 3:12-13? I'm going to come back there, and I hope that you can get picked up on this mic. Colossians 3:12-13. We're talking about our relationships, our covenant with fellow believers.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Do you think it would help our horizontal relationships in our marriages, in our homes, in our churches, if we did what Paul wrote to the Colossians? Sure, we have responsibility to fellow believers. Then our horizontal covenant responsibilities also extend to unbelievers. The word is unbelievers. Around us, insofar as such perceived responsibilities, insofar as our perceived responsibilities do not impinge upon our first duties to God Himself. We do have a responsibility to unsafe people around us insofar as those responsibilities do not impinge upon holiness and our relationship with God. All right, to whom did I give 1 Thessalonians? Who has 1 Thessalonians? Yes, I'll come there. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to hear now about our relationship with unbelievers.
That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
Thank you. That you may walk honestly toward or with them that are without. I have responsibility to my neighbor. Amen? Sure. And then finally, we're going to have to close. We are under special command to carefully guard our covenant relationships with members of our immediate family. Under special command to carefully guard our covenant relationships, our horizontal covenant relationships with members of our immediate family. Husbands, what? Your wives. And this is what Brother Cliff would be reading, but we're out of time. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, blank yourselves to your own husbands. Submit. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then, just a verse beyond that one. Ye fathers, what not your children? Yes, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We have special responsibility in our horizontal covenant relationships with our spouse, our children.
Very much like Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. Grace Glory, the number 7, @juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.